Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hour being 2 o'clock, is the sound okay? Can you hear okay over the intercom? No?
It's kind of a little closer.
We'll hold it closer like that. Is that better? Okay, so board members, just remember you got a microphone right there. My name is Paul Hansen. It's my privilege to welcome you to our board meeting this afternoon. Before we get started, Dell, I see you back there. Thank you for a marvelous conference. We'll hold it really close. Is that better if we do that? Anyway, thank you, Dale, for a marvelous conference and for inviting us to be part of your conference down here in St. George. So we'll call the meeting to order and start with the roll call. Ken, please.
I'm going to hold it because the standard does align with my voice. Paul Hansen?
Here.
Betty Naylor?
Here.
Brent Chenoff?
Here.
Tage Flint? Roger Fidel?
Here.
Brad Johnson? David Sackerson? David Stevens?
Here.
Mark Stevens? We have a quorum of 5 members.
Thank you, very good. Introductions is going to be short. You can see who we are, so we'll just disband with the rest of that and keep moving on for the sake of time. Moving on to item number 4, approval of minutes. To the board, we have minutes from January 9th. If you've had a chance to review those, any comments to those meetings? Hearing nothing, I'll entertain a motion on approval of the minutes.
Mr. Chairman,
I move that we approve the January 9th minutes.
I have a motion by Roger. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
And a second by Betty. All in favor, indicate aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Very good. Thank you very much. Moving on now to item 5 for the Financial Assistance Committee report, and I'll turn this portion over to Betty.
Our next item is our status report. Michael?
Okay, looking at our status report in your packet, the first page is the summary of the state program. We currently have $3.2 million in the state program fund. Over the course of the next 12 months, we're expecting an additional $5.3 million. By February 1st of 2016, we're expecting $8.5 million to be available for funding state projects. You'll notice that our state match for the 2015 federal grant is included in that. Congress has passed the continuing resolution to continue funding EPA, and our appropriation, our allotment of that is just over $9 million for the coming year. So, well, for this year, for fiscal year that we're already in, they just passed it. Anyway. The second page is a breakdown of the different projects on the state program. You'll see that there are 3 construction projects that are currently, we're working with them to close the loan. There are a number of planning loans and other construction projects that are in progress on the next 2 sections. Basically just a breakdown of where the money is going from the state SRF program. The third page again is a different breakdown showing the different types of money that is being expended from the state program. Are there any questions?
Betty, I have one question. Do we have any of these projects that are close to not closing and having to do extensions on them? Henryville, for example, is one that was June of 2013.
Henryville is a planning.
Oh, that's in the planning section.
Those are planning, and those are all. There's really no loan closing that is associated with the planning loan. It's simply an agreement between the Drinking Water Board and the town or the water system. Daggett County, Dutch John, Trenton Town, and Tickaboo are all the ones that we're working on closing at this point. Trenton Town is closing in on their 1 year. They were authorized by the board in May of 14. I've spoken with them here at the conference. and they expect to close in the next 4 to 6 weeks. Been talking with Julie Cobley, who's our staff engineer working with Trenton, and she says they are very close. There are just a few things that they need to submit to the attorneys and have the attorneys give the okay that is satisfactory to close, and then we should be moving towards closure with them. Daggett County Dutch John, we are working with them. They were just recently authorized, and so they've got a while. And Tickaboo, unfortunately, I don't have any information on Tickaboo at this time. That's another of Julie's projects that I can have more information. I can email that to the board if you'd like.
Yeah. Let me ask my question more clearly. You're correct. Are those planning studies, like for Henryville, have they been completed, or are they still in the works where they're 2 years old, coming up on 2 years in June?
Right. I will have to check. Typically, we give them a year from the day that they're authorized to submit to us the work product from that work. And I will have to look and see if they've actually submitted that.
Okay, thank you.
And we need to look and see if that's... I believe they have, but I don't know for sure. I will check on those and have a report and email that to the board.
If you would, just for those older ones,
yes,
just so we can make sure they're still moving. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. Any other questions on the state program? Okay, moving on to the federal SRF program. Page 4 of this particular packet section. We currently have $33.5 million in our federal SRF pot of money. That is the repayment stream that we are receiving from loans that are outstanding. Over the course of the next year, we're expecting an additional $17 million to come in. $6.8 million of that will be from our federal grant for fiscal year 15. $1.8 million will come as state match. And then we have our interest on investments. That's the money that is in our PTIF account that is waiting to be moved from there to construction escrow accounts. You'll see that we should receive about $6.2 million in principal payments and $1.5 million in interest. And we receive over half of that in January. So by January of 2016, we should be receiving that roughly $8 million in repayment money. Again, the second page of that is a breakdown of the different projects that have been authorized and closed by the board, and the money is being spent. We've been talking with Harriman. Harriman expects to close March of this year. I think we've set a date for them of March 12th. Greendale Water Company, they are getting closer. They've been doing a lot of public outreach to try and quell some dissatisfaction, if you will, with their project. But they are moving closer. And then Boulder Farmstead and the rest have been more recently authorized, but they are still waiting to close, so we're working with them to close those loans. Kane County Zion View, we received the final pay request from them, so we should be closing that project out really quickly. And then the rest of those, other than the Rural Water Association contract, those are all planning. And so we need to, again, look at, there's Woodland Mutual that was closed in May of 13. That we need to double check and see where they're at as far as completing that study and submitting their report. And then there is one proposed project for this meeting today, Taylor West Weaver, and two deauthorizations on the federal program. So that's where we sit, and we have plenty of cash basically on hand to fund projects. We just need to find those that are willing to accept the money.
Are there any questions or discussions from the board? Thank you, Michael. Our next item on the agenda is the project priority list. Again, Michael.
Thank you. There are two new projects being added to the project priority list. Taylor West Weaver Water scored 22.9 points. Their project is a 3 million gallon tank, a transmission line, and a new well. Town of Clove is being added to the project priority list with 10.7 points, and their project is a 500,000-gallon tank. The Financial Assistance Committee has recommended that the Drinking Water Board approve the updated project priority list.
I'll make that motion, and we approve the updated project priority list.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion by David Steven, second by
Roger
Fidel. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes. Next item on the agenda is our SRF applications, state, federal, and other. And the first one is for Jesse with the Grand Water and Sewer Service Agency. Jesse? And Jesse, we'll have them introduce themselves and who they represent.
Hello, Mark Soloy with Grand Water and Sewer. Moab, we are the applicant. First time meeting, first in line, too.
I'm Robert Borley with Sunrise Engineering, representing Grand Water and Sewer.
Go ahead, Jesse.
Okay. Grand Water and Sewer is requesting financial assistance in the amount of $242,323 to replace faulty transmission lines, both to their tank and from their 3 million gallon storage tank. I forgot to put on here, but the total project is $272,000, and Grand Water is contributing $30,000 to the project. So Grand Water, their MAGI is $30,300, which is 77% of the state MAGI. And their water bill is $49.84, which is 1.97% of their local MAGI. So both these conditions qualify Grand Water for additional subsidization. And they, like I mentioned, they do have some funds available to contribute to the project. This is kind of an emergency project because their water main broke once. When was the first time it broke?
That'd be December, get my years rolled up, December 2012, and then again, or 2013, I'm sorry.
It was December, I believe, 2012, and then again in January of 2013, and then again December of last year. So we've had three breaks over the last 18 months.
And so due to the nature, staff is proposing a 50% grant using state funds, and then the rest would be a 50% loan of $121,000 at 1.39%. They've kind of got a unique situation where they have a high number of connections, and this has a low cost per connection. So the difference between a five-year loan and a 30-year loan doesn't affect the water bill very much. And so they've requested a five-year loan so they can pay it off faster. So the committee's recommendation was a $121,000 loan at 1.39% interest or fee for 5 years, with an additional $121,323 grant to the Grand Water and Sewer Service Agency. They did not have any issues on their compliance report.
Okay, questions from the board? Any discussion from the board? I'll receive a motion.
I make the motion that we approve the loan. The construction loan of $121,000 at 1.39% interest for 5 years, with an additional $121,323 grant to the Grand Water Sewer Service Agency.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Motion by Brett, second by David Stevens. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes. Congratulations on your project.
Thank you. Appreciate your time and effort, especially with Jesse that has been spent on this. Hopefully we won't be doing this again anytime soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesse.
The next item on our SRF applications for the state funds is the Plymouth Town. Gary? Gary, if you'll have them introduce themselves, please.
Certainly.
Curtis Murray, I'm the mayor.
Wes Sheedy, I'm a water operator.
Scott Archibald, Center.
Go ahead, Gary.
Okay, Plymouth Town. Plymouth Town is requesting financial assistance in the amount of $880,000 to construct a new 500,000 gallon water tank. During the summer months, Plymouth's water demand during peak hours has drained their existing tanks on multiple occasions. The local MAGI of Plymouth Town is $43,284, which is 107% of the state MAGI. They currently have a water bill of approximately $24.94 per month, which is 0.69% of local MAGI. Due to Plymouth Town's high MAGI and low water bill relative to its MAGI, the town doesn't qualify for grant. A loan of $880,000 for 20 years with a 3.29% interest rate would require the town to maintain an average water bill of $51.38 or 1.42% of local MAGI. The Financial Assistance Committee recommended the Drinking Water Board authorize an $880,000 construction loan to the town of Plymouth with a 3.29% interest or fee per annum for 20 years, the condition that they resolve all issues on their compliance report.
Keith, do any of you gentlemen want to add further to that or comment on that?
Yes, please. We have experienced really low water rates in the past for our town, and we realize that we have done a disservice to our community by doing so. If we continue with the project, we would be tripling our water rate from a year ago today. We have increased it by $5, well, $7 in the last year. And we will continue to do that until we get up to a higher rate. We are here to try and have the board consider a lower interest rate for this loan, or possibly extending the loan to a 30-year note instead of a 20. We have other projects that we are considering. We have two different sources, and one of us is a spring that is not capable of holding our town. And we've experienced our well losing the pump, losing the motor, line breakages, which has left the town not with adequate water in an emergency situation. We didn't have any storage. We had enough just barely to keep the toilets flushing and the water running in the residence. So if we continued with this, we don't think we could pursue any further projects down the road if we was to stay at this rate and with this, our monthly bill.
Go ahead, Paul.
A couple of questions to staff on this. The two criteria that we have to allow a reduction in interest rate or grant are either income as it relates to median adjusted gross income, and also the water bill as a percentage of that median adjusted gross income.
That is correct.
As I read the packet, it would show that the local income is 107% of that. And that even an adjusted water bill would be 1.42, which would be lower than the criteria. So would there be any other considerations that would allow us to consider more grant or interest reduction from what's been given?
The board does have flexibility to reduce the interest rate.
Or extend time.
On state loans, but not on federal. If we use federal money, it has to remain within 20 years. If it's state money, then you do have the flexibility to go beyond 20 years.
And this is a state-funded project that we're talking about for this one, so this would have the flexibility. Is that Michael, you're nodding your head as well? Okay. So that would be an option on time.
It is an option, correct.
Would the extension of time, have you had a chance to consider what that payment would do if it was extended from 20 to 30 years, if that would be something that would...
You know, I didn't work up an evaluation for 30 years. I did work up some additional evaluations with a lower interest rate with the same 20-year term. It would lower the water bill. Their requirement would lower if you stretch it out to 30 years instead of 20.
But what I'm hearing is we don't have those numbers available for us to look at today.
Not for the extended term. Not for the extended term from 20 to 30 years. I don't have that with me. If I had access to a computer, I could probably work it up really quick. Or at least to our division database where I have all the files saved. Mm-hmm. But I can't do that right now.
We don't have that available.
I don't,
okay.
Yeah.
Any other discussion from the board? Questions?
If they lowered the interest rate, what would they lower it to? Like it's 3.29% interest, is that correct?
That is correct. Right now it's at 3.29%. If it was lowered, let's say 1%, the water bill, let me get that here. It would lower the water bill approximately $2.50 from 3.29% to 2.29% on a 20-year term. Would lower it from $51.38 to $48.81.
And for the applicant, does the $2.50 make that amount of difference? Because you were saying that you know it's the
no. We asked our citizens what they would be willing to increase to, and we came in at the $35 to $40 per month charge, and they was okay with that. We had a pump for another source. Another well drilling. We had that all put into one, and they did not want to go about any more than about $40 per month is what they figured they could handle. So we reduced, we cut off the one part of our pump and our new well project, and we just focused on the tank.
I'm not sure that going to 30 years would get down to that category, would it?
It gets us right close to the 40, 41. Just over the 40 range, which might be
at the 3.29% for 30 years.
No, at 2%.
So you okay? So
we're asking for 2% in the 30 years.
Both of them. Is this an emergency project?
This is not an emergency project.
Okay. I mean, it's obviously one you'd like to get done, but it's not. Not something that we have to get started on this week.
According to the state calculations, we are 25 to 30% lacking capacity for our fire suppression needs in our town. So that's what kind of driven this project, is to try and get up to the minimum state standards that are set.
I don't know how the rest of the board feels, but I would almost feel more comfortable looking into it a little further and seeing what that impact would be to change it that substantially from what the Financial Assistance Committee looked at. It's pretty healthy. I understand your situation. Please don't, but I also want to be careful that we don't do something that either establishes a precedent or gets us in trouble with the conditions of our funding from state or federal agencies. Does that sound reasonable, Ken, to you? I mean, with your staff, is that something you think would be reasonable to do? To look at further, or what advice would you have for us?
by looking at it at a subsequent meeting, it would give us an opportunity to put the figures together and check policy and report back to the Financial Committee and Board.
We have implemented an impact fee. We went through and done the study. We're trying to play catch up as quick as we can, but we don't feel we can burden our citizens
sure.
to a $55 or so dollar per month when they've been used to such a lower rate. To increase that in like a year or two would be detrimental to us living in that small town.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. That's a very kind way. Very kind way of saying it. I'll take a recommendation from the board then.
Betty, it would be my recommendation that in the interest of considering options, that we table this action and turn it back to staff to reevaluate the potential for either an extended period of time or interest rate reductions, taking into consideration new information which the applicant may have with impact fees and other factors, and then bring that back to us in a future meeting for reconsideration.
When we do that, can we get an assortment of interest rates that we're looking at too, mm-hmm. as long as it's as well as the 30 years?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I think Paul's recommendation included both, okay. the interest and the years, as I understood it. Is there a second?
I'll second that motion.
Okay. Motion by Paul, second by Brett. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay, so as I understand the recommendation, the staff will come back both with consideration of years and also interest rates to see if we can get somewhere within what the applicant would feel comfortable with.
Thank you.
The next item on our agenda is the SRF applications for the federal, and this is for Pleasant View deauthorization. And Michael, you have that one.
On January 17th, 2014, the board authorized $1,977,000 construction loan to Pleasant View City at 3.65% for 15 years to drill a new well and construct a 500,000-gallon storage tank. Due to increased costs associated with the Davis-Bacon and American Iron and Steel provisions, the city has determined that their best course of action is to fund this project on the public market, and a letter stating that is attached in the packet. The Financial Assistance Committee has recommended that the Drinking Water Board deauthorize the $1.977 million loan to Pleasant View City with the interest rate of 3.65% for 15 years.
Thank you. Discussion or questions from the board? Or comment?
I'll make a comment. This is one of the items that we'll be talking about in our work session after, is what we can do to help potentially soften the harshness of this, but it's a real problem. Some of these federal requirements are causing some problem, and we've seen that on the board. So if you're ready for a motion, I'll make a motion that we accept the request to deauthorize funds as stated.
I'll second.
Okay, motion by Paul, second by David Stevens. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Next on our list under federal is the Sheep Creek Cove HOA deauthorization. Jesse.
Okay. Sheep Creek Cove was authorized $90,000 at 4.82% interest for 20 years in the January 2014 board meeting. Due to the additional, same, similar thing, but additional overhead and administrative requirements was too significant for them, so they decided to find the funds elsewhere, and they've requested to deauthorize this funding, which is what the committee's recommendation is. And they have a letter attached to it. The next page.
And I think Paul would echo his comment on this one also.
Absolutely.
Seeing no discussion, I'll receive a motion.
To make the motion that we deauthorize Sheep Creek Cove project.
And a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Motion by Roger, second by Brett. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Our next item on, under the federal funding is our Taylor West Weber Water. Jesse? And if you'll introduce yourselves, please.
Yeah, I'm Val Suries. I'm the manager of Taylor West Weber Water.
Cody Dieter from Lewisham Robertson of Birmingham, representing the applicant.
Go ahead, Jesse.
Okay. Taylor West Weber is requesting $7,636,391 to drill and equip a new well, construct a new 3 million gallon storage tank, and add approximately 12,000 feet of transmission and distribution lines. They will contribute $88,711 to the project. Their local MAGI and projected water bill post-construction both qualify the district for additional subsidization. So the recommendation of the Financial Assistance Committee was that the Drinking Water Board authorize a $6.091 million construction loan at 2.26% interest or fee for 30 years, with an additional $1,545,391 in principal forgiveness to the Taylor West Weber Improvement District.
Would you gentlemen like to comment on further comment or?
Well, this is a very exciting project for our water district because it benefits every customer we have. It's going to raise our pressure like 17 pounds across the whole district.
That's great.
Which is a big difference on protection and service to the customer.
Comments or questions from the board?
You know me, I always have to comment.
That's just one.
Have you taken into consideration the same factors that we just authorized money for onto other projects, namely the Buy America and the Davis-Bacon? Has that been taken into consideration?
Yeah, it's Cody's. So Gardner Engineering is provided the cost estimates, okay. And these are including the Davis-Bacon and Buy America.
Okay, thank you.
So they do include those.
Thank you.
Look at both options.
I have a question. This water bill that's mentioned under staff comments at $50.91, does that include the impact of the additional subsidies and other considerations? Or
no, that was before. That would just be a straight loan is what the projected water bill would be.
So what would the water bill be after that? Is that?
So that would be... Oh, no, I'm sorry. That is with the proposed principal forgiveness.
How many connections are there?
Looks like just about 2,000. Does that sound right?
Bring your paper.
How much, just curious, how much would the bill have been without the principal forgiveness?
I would have, I don't know. I would have had that on my original, the one that was presented to the committee, but I pulled that out to save paper against.
Okay, thank you.
We provided prepared a long-term finance plan for the district, and under a different scenario, without the principal forgiveness, it required like a 25% rate increase over what it is now. So it would have been another $5 or $6 onto that bill. So having this 30 years at 2.26 allows them to continue on the current path, which is an annual 3% or cost of living adjustment every year, which is by resolution occurs every year without board action.
Good.
Which we think is a good long-term prudent way to manage your system.
That is.
Thank you. That is.
Any other discussion, comments? I'll receive a motion.
I'd make that motion, Betty, to authorize a $6,091,000 construction loan at 2.26% interest rate for 30 years with an additional $1,545,391 in principal forgiveness to the Taylor West Weaver Water Improvement District.
And do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, I have a motion by Brett, a second by David Stevens. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes. Your project. Now, I want to congratulate you for looking at those two elements, the Buy America and the Davis-Bacon, because we're finding, like Paul has mentioned, some of our applicants have not factored that into their request for funding, and it does involve our staff's time and our board's time, you know, in looking at approving and forwarding them, only to find out that those two elements then cause us to have to deauthorize the funding. So I congratulate you, and especially on your 3% in your long-term plan. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn the time back over to you then for the rest of our agenda.
Thank you. Moving on to item six, Michael, we're talking about the intended use plan for 2015. And I believe all the board members had a copy either provided to them earlier or it was left on your in front of your station. So.
Requirement that the division must comply with every year in order to receive our federal capitalization grant is that we prepare an intended use plan. Basically, what this plan does is it tells EPA how we intend to use the funds that we receive from them. This intended use plan includes a copy of our most recent priority list so that the EPA can get a sense of the projects that we are funding. We did also outline in there how we're going to use set-aside funds, give them a little bit of history of how we are using things and how we're using the money that's been appropriated to us over the past several years. Another stipulation of this is that the intended use plan has to go out for public comment before we submit this to EPA. We typically bring this to the board in February and then implement the comment period after this board meeting once we've received authorization from the board to proceed. However, this year is a little bit different. Things are constantly changing within the SRF program. EPA, we had a conference call with our counterparts at EPA Region 8 in January, and at that point in time they told us that they would like us to have our grant application to them by the end of February. We are currently in the process of preparing that application. So the intended use plan has actually been posted either late last week or early this week to our webpage for public comment. So apologize to the board for not being able to bring that to you prior to allowing that to go out for public comment, but due to the change, we normally submit that application in May or June to EPA, and this year with the continued focus by Congress on unliquidated obligations and the amount of money that is sitting at various state level programs, they want to be able to show Congress that the money is necessary, that the programs are useful, and that the money is being used not only wisely but efficiently and effectively as well. So,
Michael, can I ask a question on
that? Yes, sir.
I'm on page 10 of the document where it talks about the public review of that intended use plan, where it makes reference that it will be posted and available for today's meeting. And then it goes on to say, comments may be made in writing to the board at the address or in a meeting.
Yes.
And it says they'll be accepted for 1 month.
Right.
So we're not meeting within the next month.
Right.
So will comments be due? Will they still have an opportunity to come back?
They still have the opportunity to comment.
Okay.
And the nice thing about the intended use plan is we can always submit an update. And typically, the way that the state of Utah is elected to run their program, we submit updates on a regular basis because we are constantly updating our project priority list. So we do amend our IUP regularly. And if we get any comments, typically we don't get comments on the IUP. But should we get a comment that has merit and we need to take it into consideration, we can make an amendment to the IUP and resubmit that to EPA.
Okay, thank you.
So we, as staff, are requesting that the board, although belatedly, provide authorization for us to put the IUP out for public comment and then submit the IUP with our grant application in a timely fashion.
I would propose that any motion be formed in the form of a ratification.
Correct.
Of that action
that's
already
fine.
Be done.
Yes.
Just one comment, and this is for the public in there. Table 3 of this document summarizes what these federal grants come up to. And just for your information, through June of 2015, the cumulative amount of federal money available through either first round money or interest investments back that the state has had to work with is in excess of $310 million of money that's going into infrastructure in the state of Utah. So it's a great program, and like I say, it's our intent to try to make that $50 million that we're going to be having in reserve through next June out, and trying to find ways to make that get to use. So any discussion among the board? If not, then I'll entertain a motion ratifying the action.
Please. Question. I noticed that our use rate of the funds is round numbers 3/4, generally I think 74%.
Right.
Does EPA have a target that they like to see that they publish, or is they just kind of a this is fine, so don't worry about it, or they're up to 95%?
Yeah. What page is that you're looking at, so I can get a sense of what those numbers actually mean, because there are a number of different metrics that EPA uses to determine how well we're using our fund.
Let's see, I'm just doing this from memory.
Your memory's right, because I remember that number, but I can't find it all.
I can't find it either. I'm searching for it. I'm not finding it, so maybe...
I had it highlighted, so I'm looking also.
Because that number sounds low. Every year we are audited by EPA as far as the SF program is concerned, and actually ours is coming up next week. The 3rd, 4th, and 5th of March, EPA will be in our office auditing our program. And the numbers that they have provided us as far as use rate is concerned are typically in the 85 to 90% rate. So we're constantly receiving positive marks from EPA for our use rate. So that 75% number sounds a little low. That's why I wanted to know exactly what that number was so I could look at that.
I'll keep searching for it as
okay.
We go through, and I'll
bring
it to your attention later.
Thank you.
I think one of them was 87%. I remember right.
We've in our annual audits, we've had as high as 93-94% utilization rate, which is among the best in the country as far as use rates for EPA federal funding is concerned. So that's why I say that 75 sounds.
Okay, maybe it's 78. Low. Page 4, right below the table 1.
Okay. Let's see, 78%.
I have my numbers mixed up then. 87%.
Yeah, let me do some research into that. And it looks like it might be the 194.5 million over the 250 million available. And that probably is due to our larger than average second round carryover.
Well, you know, 78 seems fine to me. I was just wondering if EPA has a guideline.
They would like to see above 85%.
Above 85, okay.
Yeah, but I've been talking with Brian Friel, who's our counterpart at EPA Region 8, and explaining what we're finding, and we're not the only state that is experiencing that, for your information. There are many states out there that are having a higher than normal second round balance due to A, the economy, and B, increased costs due to the different regulations and requirements that are being implemented. So it's pretty standard.
Do we see the same thing with the state funds?
The state funds are currently, because of the economy. We don't have the same requirements for the state
right,
funds.
I understand.
But our second round, our repayment stream with the state is also increasing because we're not having the number of applicants that we have in prior years.
Right.
And typically in my conversations with different water systems, it is because they are concerned about incurring debt at this particular point in time, as well as burdening their constituents with higher water bills with the ongoing economic situation. You know, it's a catch-22. I try to explain to them that now is actually a great time. The money is relatively inexpensive. The bidding environment is very favorable still, and we're still seeing some really good construction and material costs out there. So the return on the investment is much greater now than if they wait for the economy to actually start booming again, when everything goes up in price and their $500,000 project becomes a $750,000 or $1 million project.
Yeah, and this higher water bill is going to be for 30 years, and you know, 3 more years the economy will be better, and they're locked into a low interest rate. It's a great deal all around.
That's the selling point that we try and use is that you're always going to have an economic cycle. You know, there will be up years, there will be down years, but at this particular point, the planets are aligned, if you will. We have good rates on the money. We have good bidding dollar value, and the five, you know, in most cases, the $5 to $10 increase in water bill is well worth it. I mean, if we're looking at those that are having to triple their water bill, then maybe not.
That's a different situation.
That's a different situation. But the smaller increases, in our opinion, and what we try and sell to the water systems, is that they are worth it at this point.
Plus the fact, if you have a $500,000 project, that boosts the economy by $500,000 and things feed on it. So.
Right.
Thank you.
Very good. Any other discussion then on the intended use plan? If not, I'll entertain a motion on this item.
I'll move that we ratify the posting for public comment period for the intended use plan.
I have a motion by Betty. A second, please.
I'll second it.
A second by David Stevens. All in favor indicate aye.
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 Any opposed? Very good. Thank you, Michael, for moving forward on that action and keeping us in compliance. Item number 7 is a discussion on an equipment purchase proposal with the Rural Water Association. Michael and
yes, thank you.
Staff,
join Michael.
Fantastic.
Firm Steel with the Rural Water Association of Utah.
Dale Pearson with the Rural Water Association. And I just, very quickly before we start this, I want to express my appreciation to Grand Water and Sewer Service Agency Manager Mark Solvine for his forbearance in not blaming a former district manager for the problems he's experiencing with his pipeline.
The Division of Drinking Water is in the process of implementing an energy efficiency initiative, which we have discussed with the board for several months now. This initiative is aimed at drinking water systems throughout the state A number of water systems have already identified energy efficiency improvements in both operations and infrastructure. Annual savings from these improvements have ranged from $42,000 to over $300,000. The division is encouraging all drinking water systems to investigate energy efficiency options and identify if cost savings are possible for their water system. The small and very small drinking water systems in the state are often unavailable to take full advantage of these initiatives due to either a lack of knowledge, a lack of money, or lack of proper equipment. The division and the Rural Water Association of Utah have worked to resolve this issue for these small and very small water systems that the Rural Water Association serves. The division, with concurrence from EPA Region 8 personnel, has determined that a portion of the state set-aside funds from our federal SRF program can be used to contract with the Rural Water Association of Utah to purchase this equipment. And that equipment will then be made available to these small and very small water systems to help them identify potential areas of improvement. This proposed equipment includes leak detectors, pipeline cameras, an infrared camera, and a trailer to haul this equipment around to the various water systems. The equipment, when coupled with the knowledgeable and experienced rural water staff, there to work with these drinking water system staffs and provide their expertise, will allow these systems to identify and then repair water leaks, which will ultimately save energy and its associated costs and also improve system efficiency. Rural Water Association has provided a cost estimate to the division to purchase this equipment. The estimated cost is less than $50,000, and the expected useful life of this equipment is up to 10 years with proper maintenance and care. Therefore, staff recommends the following for the Drinking Water Board. Number one, that the board authorize the allocation of up to $50,000 from our federal SRF program set-asides to finance a proposed contract with Rural Water to purchase this equipment. Number two, to authorize staff to prepare a draft proposal and contract and submit it to state finance for review and comment. And three, upon approval of the contract by state finance, authorize the executive secretary to enact the contract.
A couple of questions. The statement first, I support it. I think anytime we can empower communities to help them, it's what we're doing. And I've had a discussion with both Dale and Vern on this. One of the questions I just want the public to consider is, are we charging communities for this service?
No.
So is this a service that we're just providing to help them be efficient?
If I may, in particular, well, all of our contracts were through the state and all of our federal contractors, contracts that we have in place, are all provided free to systems of any size, any system that needs help. So this service will be provided by those service providers, by those people, and there will be no charge for that service. I also might say that along with the energy and all that, this will also help with conservation to a degree, because finding those leaks is a conservation issue as well.
And they'll use existing staffing that the contract has. You're not looking at expanding staffing. This is simply giving them additional tools.
Exactly.
To help the communities they serve. Okay, thank you. Any discussion or comments from the board on this item? If not, I'll entertain a motion on item 7 regarding this Rural Water Association equipment purchase proposal.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make that motion to accept STEP recommendations number 1, 2, and 3 as listed in our agenda.
Have a motion by Betty Naylor. A second, please.
I'll second that.
And I have a second by Brett Chenault. All in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Very good.
Thank you.
Make it happen. Right. I'd be interested to get a report back.
I'll see I'll come how back to the drone later, all right?
Yes.
All right.
Very good. Number 8 on the agenda is Division Rulemaking Action. This is something we see every 5 years.
Correct.
Michael, I've seen it a couple times, so we'll turn this portion over to you again as well.
Thank you. Utah Code Title 63G as listed there. I won't read the whole thing. Basically, we're required by code to review each of our rules every 5 years. Basically, within the 5 years after the rule's original effective date or within 5 years after filing the last five-year review. The division last filed five-year review notices for each of its rules in March of 2010. To comply with this requirement, the Division of Drinking Water must again submit the five-year notice of review and statement of continuation for each of our rules. If this notice is not filed, all of the unreviewed rules will expire, will be removed from the Utah Administrative Code, and become unenforceable. The following pages are the five-year notice forms for each of our division rules, and again, I won't read all those numbers because they're listed there in front of you. Upon board authorization to proceed, these notices will be signed by the division director and filed with the Division of Administrative Rules no later than March 16, 2015. Staff recommends that the Drinking Water Board authorize staff to file the required five-year notice of review and statement of continuation for each of the referenced Division of Drinking Water rules with the Division of Administrative Rules.
Are there any rules not included in this list?
No.
So this is comprehensive from top to bottom?
Every rule that the division has is included in this list.
So although there are many who would like us to let this lapse, it would be my motion that we, well, I guess we should ask for input from the board. Yes, Kim.
I'd like to add to what Mike has said. The establishment of these rules are also federally required as part of our primacy applications. And without these rules and without primacy, there would be no federal SRF programs. I guess the only upside of this is we could all go home.
Thank you. That was the point I was also going to make, is that even though we'd like to abolish them, there's a reason we have them. So it'd be my motion that we authorize staff to file the required five-year notice of review and statement of continuation for each and all of the State Division of Drinking Water rules with the Division of Administrative Rules. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I have a second by David Stevens. All in favor indicate aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. That motion passes as well. Dale, we're going to invite you back up, if you wouldn't mind, for a report from your association. Thank you again for all your work.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Few things. Once again, thank you all for being here at our annual conference. Once again, we always appreciate having the Drinking Water Board join us, both so that we can interact and so that you can see and experience some of the things that we are doing as an organization, and in particular the way the Division of Drinking Water and our association participate together to try to help and train and assist systems in Utah. Few items I need to tell you about. If you were not at the award ceremony last night, Kim Dykes, who is one of the managers of the Division of Drinking Water, received the Friend of Rural Water Award, well-deserved award. Kim has been a great attribute to both the division and to the trainings that we do, the operator certification program, that kind of thing. One of our long-term employees, Charles Jaffs, who's been with the association for 31 years, retires at the end of this conference. You probably all know Chuck. He was in the state compliance circuit rider job for a while, and before this board numerous times reporting. We'll miss Chuck and his experience and all his expertise immensely. It's a hole we'll try to fill somehow. Today, at the annual meeting this morning, just before lunch, we had the water taste test. The third place winner was the town of Francis, who happened to be the first place winner a year ago, and who placed fourth in the national contest back in Washington, D.C. 2 weeks ago. Try to keep all this straight, let's say. Second place was Upper Country Water, and Upper Country is a former best tasting water winner, who went back to DC with us. And they've won second or third place two or three times. They've been really consistent, so that's interesting. And the first place winner was West Bountiful. So they'll be attending the water rally with us next year and doing all of those things. We've gotten some fairly good public relations out of this. I know that Channel 2 was here. In fact, I got a tweet showing what they've done. I haven't looked at it yet because I'm sitting here. But both Channel 2 and Channel 5 have been here. I believe another television station on top of that. And at least one newspaper has been here. So, you know, some good PR and for the association and for the water industry. We had elections today at our annual meeting, and we have a new president. The new association president is Scott Anderson. He replaces Paul Fulgham, who's been our president for the past 2 years. Water operator certification here at this conference. We had 82 folks in attendance taking the water certification test. According to Kim Dykes, they are he says, I can usually look out at the crowd and tell which guys are going to fail. He says, I can't tell that with this group. They're all very much engaged in what is happening, and Kim's excited about those numbers. Lastly, our attendance here at this conference is 1,872 people. That's about, I'm going to say, around 172 people more than last year. So, yeah, it just keeps growing, and that's a good thing. The industry keeps recognizing that this is the place to be. I think probably Ken in his report will talk about the division participation in the conference. We're getting a lot done here, I guess is the point. And a lot, I mean, we're all having fun, except for me. I'm not having any fun at all. But most everybody here is having fun and enjoying what we're doing, and at the same time learning and participating and making things better for the state of Utah. So thank you all for being here again.
But Shannon tells you you're having fun.
What is that?
Shannon tells you you're having fun, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, thank you all so much. We appreciate you being here. By the way, as we move forward with the equipment that we just talked about, once that's in place, we can and will report to you at our normal board reports on the use of that equipment, what we're doing, what the process is, and how all that's going. So, anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Dale. Appreciate all your work. Moving on to item number 10, director's report. So, turn some time to Ken.
Outside of the agenda, I'd like to introduce a new employee with the Division of Drinking Water. Cameron, could you please stand? This is Cameron Harry. She's in the engineering section. She's a professional engineer. She has experience in the private sector, working for consulting firms. She came to the Division of Drinking Water from the Division of Air Quality. Their loss, our gain. Ying, who is her supervisor, reports that she's very qualified and capable and turning out good work. And so we're grateful that she has joined our staff. I'd like to report about the division's involvement. We send a lot of people, or bring a lot of people down to this conference. And in part, it's because the water systems that we deal with also come down here, and we have that face time. 13 of our staff presented 24 different presentations, before this conference is finished. 82 operators will take the operator certification exam. We assisted 120 water systems in preparing their consumer confidence reports. That is roughly one-fourth, a little over one-fourth of the water systems that have to do it. And typically, these are the systems that would need help, and that help was provided at this conference. We distributed 140 reports to water systems. Those reports include the inventory of the water system, their monitoring schedule, their IPS report, or also dubbed the report card for each water system, knowing those things they have to work on, the
bacteriologic summary, and these were handed out to water systems. There were 70 consultations with water systems and or engineers discussing issues about physical facilities. There were, so far this at this point, 32 corrections that we've received either on inventory information or corrections on physical facility deficiencies that have been corrected, and we've been notified of that. In addition, there were consultations about operator certification issues, cross-connection issues, rule compliance covering a number of different rules, financial assistance, physical deficiency resolutions, source protection plans. We also had 16 specific consultations relative to source protection plan, whether it be update, the coverage, or just issues associated with activities on the watershed. So from that point of view, it is and will be a very successful meeting for the Division of Drinking Water. Earlier, well, I guess it was last week, Michael Grange and I and Jesse Johnson toured a facility that Woods Cross completed their water treatment plant. It's an impressive facility, and we are going to be working with Woods Cross to have a tour of that facility for the associated with the board meeting in May. And finally, in the packet, there is a copy of a letter from the governor to the president of the Senate talking about appointments in 2013 for board members. And if you look at that in your package, you'll note that four board members' tenure expires in May. These are specifically Tage Flint, David Stevens, Betty Naylor, and Brett Chenault. For mayors, Friedel and
Sackerson,
their terms will expire in May of 2017. They are filling the expired terms of the appointments of Mayor Mattson and Mayor Jackson. Also under this packet item are instructions on how to apply for renewal of board members, and I encourage all of the board members whose tenure expires in May of this year to reapply. The website given when I try to apply, not that I can apply, but I want to make sure that those who do apply can be successful in their application. If you use Internet Explorer, it gets hung up. So I would recommend you use Google to access the application. Just be aware of that. If you have questions or need help, give me a call and we'll work through it. And with that, that's all I have to report.
Thank you. I emphasize what he said. I would hate to lose the expertise of you board members that contribute so much. Because of that, we are delaying the board elections. Did you have something, Michael?
I do.
Oh, go ahead. Okay.
Sorry, just in conjunction with what Ken said about the May board meeting, I talked with the city manager for Woods Cross at that same function where they had the open house. He also expressed an invitation to the board to actually have their board meeting in Woods Cross at their Woods Cross City Hall. So that's something that if you would like me to pursue, I can definitely pursue that with them and make arrangements to have the board meeting in Woods Cross after the tour.
Yeah, I think that'd be very good to do. Yeah, and Scott, we talked about that earlier, so that'd be great.
Okay, very good. I'll set that in motion.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Because of the change in board, we're going to delay the election of chair and vice chair of this board until that May meeting, so that we're not excluding board members in there. So we'll defer that until the May 8th meeting, which we'll tentatively look at holding up at your place then, Scott, up in Woods Cross. And again, I want to thank you for what you've done on that system and for your residents up there. We'll get you a time on that, because it'll be earlier than 1 p.m. now. So my anticipation is that we would have a morning tour followed by an afternoon meeting. Yes, Betty?
Do you want to put a date specific on that? Because having been around, appointments may or may not be made by May.
Yeah, you definitely need to apply before May 8th. The actual appointments are made by the governor, and Betty's correct in that there seems to be a lag time between when the action should occur and when they actually do occur. But the statute allows for up to 60 days beyond the expiration date for continued service by board members in the absence of a selected replacement.
Regardless, your appointment expires May 8th at midnight. The board meeting would be May 8th, early to the midnight, so you have to be there. I expect you to be there, Betty. Either way.
But I don't see where the election of a chairman and vice chairman and all of that would be affected if we still don't have the new board members and or the present ones returning.
It'll be a challenge.
Okay.
We'll do the best we can.
You do it, challenger. You'll be here.
We'll do the best we can.
Okay.
We'll do the best we can. Any other items then? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and adjourn this meeting. We're now going to move into a study session. Is that the correct term, Heather? Is that right? Where we're going to talk as a board. It is a public meeting. You're welcome to stay around. But we're going to kind of make this a little less formal and maybe go down to some of the round tables or around this table where we can have a discussion on the issue of how we can enhance the funding opportunities for systems. So with that, we'll adjourn the meeting and reconvene just in a study session. Why don't we take just 5 or 10 minutes, stretch your legs, and we'll just reconvene.